Dillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025 The Game. Boy, I got to tell you, being the last person to make a important decision and being so stubborn that you won't change your ways, you can look back at American history. There's a lot of companies that were really successful and wouldn't change their ways. You know, breakfast cereal is always an interesting topic because at one point it was really important. People needed milk. They needed a way to get people to drink more milk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the reason why breakfast cereal was invented, because that was a way to get people to drink more milk. Now we don't need that as much. Dietary needs are different, but breakfast cereal has adapted. I don't know if you've seen this. Breakfast cereal is basically dessert in a box. I mean, it'd be like taking Oreos and throwing them into a bowl of milk and saying, knock yourself out. That's what breakfast cereal is now. One of the most popular breakfast cereals, it's not Corn Flakes, okay? It's Frosted Flakes. It's Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's the sugary stuff.
But now you have, you know, you got your grape nuts. You got your Kashi fiber.
Do you know anybody
protein.
That eats grape nuts?
My dad loves grape nuts.
Okay, and I love your dad, but your dad is...
He loves grape nuts. Like, we'll just leave it at that.
You know,
he's an older
the
guy.
Future of, you know, again, the future of breakfast
yeah,
cereal.
Yeah, the breakfast cereals of tomorrow are like Count Chocula.
See, there you go. And I feel like the NCAA is like the Blockbuster Video of sports. They will not. Baseball's up there. But even baseball's making changes. The NCAA just cannot accept reality. They cannot accept reality that the era of not paying the players is over. 9-0 with a strongly worded opinion that wasn't even the opinion of record. That tells me all I need to know. So I look at the University of Tennessee. Tennessee's desperate. Let's be real. Tennessee is desperate to have a winner in college football. Even the baseball taste was so nice for Vol fans that have been through so much. And normally desperate in sports doesn't always provide the best results. The Indianapolis Colts are desperate for a quarterback, and they end up with Carson Wentz. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you luck into it, sometimes you don't. But I look at the University of Tennessee, and I see the money they've spent, whether it's to pay off Butch Jones, whether it's to pay off Derek Dooley, whether it's to keep Jeremy Pruitt from getting his money. I just see the money. I see the money they spend on coaches. I see the money they spend on staffs. I see the money they spend on facilities. I see the money they spend on renovating the weight room. I see the money, and I see the results. And I'm like, your money is not equaling out your results. I'm Danny White. I'm Josh Heupel. I'm the football program at the University of Tennessee. And I know that a new era is coming in the NCAA. When is it coming? I don't know. But I know it's coming. And my guess would be that that new era is here at any time that I'm ready to compete. Because there's no way they're competing in 2021. There's probably no way they're competing in 2022. And 2023, 2024, that's when it looks like all of this stuff is going to actually come into play as far as name, image, and likeness will for sure be a thing. But I think we're getting close to paying the players, period. If I'm Tennessee and I've got all this money and I've got this rabid fan base that has proven they are willing to give a coach time. They gave Butch Jones time. They built everything for that 2016 season. Then they fell flat on their faces. And then the fans got mad. They gave Jeremy Pruitt time until Jeremy Pruitt was getting housed by Kentucky at home. Then they had a problem. But the Vol fan base will give a coach a little bit of time. Butch had a bad first year, blame the last guy. Pruitt had a bad first year, blame the last guy. So these teams, these fans are willing to give it the time. If I'm Danny White and I'm Josh Heupel, I think it's time to save my money and to prepare to spend big. And what does that mean by spend big? The truth is, I don't know. Because even Josh Heupel and Danny White don't know what spending big in 2023 will mean. What I do know is this. Do I need a director of on-campus recruiting engagement? or should I sign a marketing agent to work in my football program to go out and get these quarterbacks marketing deals for their name, image, and likeness? What if all of a sudden, from an educational standpoint, in 2 years I can pay the players? What if instead of hiring all of these coaches that are on all these staffs, all these analysts, all these professional butt wipers who wear a polo shirt with a power T on it and you have no idea what they do, why not save my money? Instead of building or expanding my weight room or my locker room or my stadium or my practice field, why not keep all that money in the kitty? Because maybe in a couple of years, there will be a recruit who's at the top of the sport. And I'll be able to approach him at the University of Tennessee and say, I've got $350,000 for you. I'm not saying that's where we're headed, but I'm also saying I don't know that we're not headed there. So again, I got all these resources at Tennessee. For years, I've had the highest paid staff in the SEC. I've gone out and gotten new coaches. I've gone out and updated my facilities. I've got a rabid fan base, and I can't win. Why not spend all the money, all that money, save, and then when you can start paying the players because it feels like that's the direction we're going in, why not approach it that way? Don't you think it'd be easier to do it that way? Don't you think it'd be smarter to do it that way? Sure, maybe by the time it's 2024 or 2025, the players aren't getting paid, and it is just name, image, and likeness, and I will have saved all this money and lost all these games and gotten fired. Maybe that's the case. But I think it's probably like a 50-50 chance at this point. The people who always strike first are usually the ones that are the most successful because of it. I don't like Clay Travis's shtick. I'm sure a lot of people don't either. But I will say this. When he left radio, when he left terrestrial Nashville radio, he was one of the first people I knew that was just rolling through it on Periscope. And now everybody is on Periscope. And now he sold his company to Fox. So he must have been doing something right. Again, I don't like the shtick. I don't like the antics. I don't like everything that comes with it. But he was the first to kind of make that. If you're the University of Tennessee, do you not look at where it's obvious football is going and invest your money in what could be, as opposed to trying to invest your money in what everybody else has already done? You know, that's what happens, is you hire a coach, and he sees how Alabama does it, and he sees how Florida does it, and he sees all the money these guys spend, and it's like, we need to be like these guys. Vanderbilt, for example, hired Barton Simmons, a guy I respect a lot, from 24/7 Sports to be their general manager, director of player development, or some other crap. But everybody's got one of those now. Wouldn't you be better off spending, no disrespect to Barton, wouldn't you be better off spending your money to give to the players when it feels like in the future that's where this is headed? You giving your money? I mean, that's where it feels like this is going, is paying the players. I'm Tennessee. I got a lot of money. I know LSU's going out and hiring all these analysts and coaches. I know Alabama, Georgia, Florida. I know what they're doing. Why not save my money? Wait for the market to shift. Wait for the industry to change. We know it's coming. And then, boom, I'm ready to spend big. Oh, I'm sorry, LSU. You just wanted to update your weight room. And by updating your weight room, you just spent $1.3 million. Well, that's $1.3 million you don't have to spend on players. And it's $1.3 million I do. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Do you like that idea or not? For Tennessee.
I think that Tennessee and a lot of other schools should be doing that. I think that you need to look at the landscape and look and see how the game is changing in order to be successful. And if Tennessee is going to sit back and continue to pump money other places, that's totally fine. But they have to understand that there's consequences to that. That whenever there's a kid sitting there saying, I would love to be a Tennessee Volunteer, but Kentucky's offering me $200,000, and if you can't do that, I'm going to be wearing royal blue in the fall.
Kentucky spent $100 million on a new facility. $100 million. What if we took that $100 million and we put that in the kitty for what we could spend on the players?
Because I totally understand them investing in the facilities last year, 2 years ago, but as we heard from Trevor Maddich yesterday, facilities aren't going to matter as much anymore.
Nope. Nope, 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 nope. Trevor said he wanted to be on the Jets. He was a free agent. He went to the Colts. When he went to the Colts, the locker room was trash. The facilities were awful. They wrote him a check that day, and guess who he signed with?
The Indianapolis Colts.
The Colts. If I'm Tennessee football, I've tried everything else. I've tried everything. I've tried the mid-major coach, Butch Jones, who had some success. That didn't work out. I've tried hiring the legacy of Vince Dooley and Derek Dooley. That didn't work out. I've tried hiring a former NFL coach, Lane Kiffin. That didn't work out. I tried the best coordinator at the best school, Jeremy Pruitt. That didn't work. Forget about it. Forget about weight rooms. Forget about locker rooms. Forget about, dude, my grandfather used to have a saying. It's always about the money. And when somebody says it's about the principle, it really means that it's about the money. And if I'm Tennessee, that's what I would do. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. And I want to flip it the other way. What we know about Vanderbilt. Remember the Vandy United Fund that they've started? You know, this whole fundraising, infrastructure, building, whatever. You'd be better off just giving that money to Clark Lee to go buy players in 2 or 3 years. We'll discuss that next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. We'll get your reaction on all of this as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Stillman and Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Trevor, you're Danny White, the athletic director at Tennessee. I'm Josh Heupel, the coach. What is our strategy now, knowing that the rules are not going to change tomorrow, but they're going to change really quickly, and for our program that's got a lot of fan support, got a lot of money, we need to get some players. How would you approach this if you were Danny White and I was Josh Heupel?
Jared, that's a great question, because the things we're talking about right now are speculation down the road. More lawsuits need to be won in order for all these things to come into fruition. The reason we're talking about them now as quite likely is because of the way the opinions were written. The majority opinion by Justice Gorsuch and the concurring opinion by Justice Kavanaugh seemed to open the door to what you and I are talking about now. But what we do know is happening now is changes in the way athletes will be able to handle name, image, and likeness and to be able to profit from that. We don't know what all the details are going to be, but we do know that some of the top schools are already laying a foundation.
There you go. That was Trevor Maddich. Some of the top schools are already laying a foundation. Tennessee, stop spending money on football stuff you don't need. Get ready to go buy players. So Vanderbilt, every 5 years or so, they unveil like these new plans. You know, these new plans to go out there and to just, we're going to spend, we're going to do this, we're going to do every 5 years is generous, every 2 or 3 years. And Vanderbilt has gotten to the point with me where I feel like it's the boy who cried wolf. They say they've got the Vandy United Fund, and they're making a big deal about that.
A $300 million investment.
Shouldn't we take that and put that in our kitty to go buy players?
So that's my only apprehension about it is we're not there yet. Like, you have educational money that you can give them. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but we're not there yet. But also, money doesn't go bad. Money doesn't expire. If you have $300 million that donors and whoever it may be were willing to give to the athletic department, then I think that getting athletes is a part of the athletic department. So I think it's time for athletic departments to start thinking realistically, because we're not quite there yet. We're not just giving out checks.
When's the first time you heard about electric cars being like a legitimate thing?
I don't know. Maybe when I was like in high school.
Okay, and you're
so like
23,
12, 13, 14.
Okay, so about 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you know when Elon Musk founded Tesla?
2006.
2003.
2003.
But it remained in stealth mode until July of 2006.
Mm-hmm.
These things take time.
Yeah.
Like, these things take time. So I know, we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
Yet.
But, and I'm just saying, I look at, you know, the SEC. I don't think Tennessee, when do you think we're getting there to pay the players?
So, I mean, if you would have asked me that before the Supreme Court decision, I would have said 10 years. I think it's looking more like 5 to 7.
Okay.
So not long.
Do you think Tennessee has any fair shot at competing in the SEC in the next 5 years?
No.
I mean, I think if they did, it'd be like a 25% chance.
Yeah. I mean, history leads me to believe that they do not.
Do you think Vanderbilt has any chance in the next 5 years of competing fair and square? Why not save up your money and go buy players? If it feels like that's the future. I mean, hell, Hugh Freeze did that at Ole Miss, just wasn't allowed to do it, and he turned them into a legitimate contender for the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
I just think if I'm Vanderbilt and I'm going to spend $300 million, I think I'd spend it on the players because, again, players win you games. Stadiums do not win you games. Who has the nicest stadium in the NFL?
It was the newest.
The Rams,
Arizona.
Maybe?
What'd you say, Ian?
The Rams, maybe?
LA. Rams.
They got a new
Rams,
one, right?
Rams, Raiders, Falcons, Cowboys. Guess what? This team's ain't great. Titan Stadium has been the same old boring stadium since 1999.
But also...
doesn't make a difference.
The stadiums at Jerry's World in Atlanta... you don't get players because you're like, look how cool our stadium is.
That's my
point.
You
get college players by saying, look how cool my stadium is.
But you won't in 5 years.
Probably not.
So let's save our money up. 615-737-1025. Let's go to your phones. David is going to kick us off this hour. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, David?
Hey, Jared, I had a question for you. I'm not sure about, you know, which conferences make more money. I could imagine SEC football definitely makes more money than Big Ten or Pac-12. But do you think, like, schools like Michigan or schools like Oregon and maybe the money they have will be able to kind of elevate their status of play? Will it balance out college football, or do you just think SEC is going to be the one spending all the money?
Thank you for your call, David. I don't know. I mean, this is one of those things where I heard Dan Wetzel on the morning show today, and I heard Joe. Joe thinks that name, image, and likeness is the only difference now after this. From what I interpreted what Joe said, he thinks that this is like just name, image, and likeness.
No.
I think this is much bigger than that. I think this is eventually paying the players.
Because I think name, image, and likeness is fairly clear cut exactly what it is.
Sure. You want to go make some money pumping crap on Instagram? Here you go.
If you want to be the spokesperson for a sports drink, do it. But, you know, does it go to your tuition or does it go to your new car? That's where the gray area is for this new thing.
No, yes. I think the new thing now is, can they pay you now or can they not? And it looks like they can. That they cannot cap the compensation given to athletes.
But exactly what is that compensation for?
That's why I think they need to get a collective bargaining agreement done. They need to find a way to get the players unionized, which is going to be incredibly difficult, to get them in a union, and then they've got to collectively bargain with the union. They almost have to set up their enemies. But it's the thing that would keep them afloat. Now, I do wonder how much of this will be about conferences, which is like, okay, if you want to play in the SEC, you've got to join the SEC union. But then whatever conference, it's going to really, whatever conference has the most lenient rules is whatever conference the best players are going to go play in. And then it's really going to blow things out of proportion.
And I wonder, too, will this affect transferring at all? Will you have to sit out a year of play and then also sit out a year of receiving your educational compensation? How will that work if the conferences do unionize and they have separate conferences? How will it work transferring within the conference versus without the conference? Will that make a difference?
Well, if I'm in charge, guess what my conference is going to do?
As little as possible?
We're going to give you a bonus for transferring in.
Oh!
So if you get offered a scholarship and you transfer in, I'm in the ACC. You transfer in from the SEC, I'll give you a bonus. You can play right away and I'll give you a bonus.
Well, then what's stopping someone from committing to Clemson for in staying for a year and then transferring to Alabama. Anything? Is anything stopping them from that?
What's stopping them from
doing that?
They
can collect their bonus?
What's stopping them from doing that now?
Well, nothing, but for now it's a reason other than just I don't have playing time, I don't like the coaches, I don't like the school.
So I want to leave my school.
Purely for financial gain.
Yeah, because I want the best players.
Cool.
Seems pretty simple to me.
This is wild.
Seems pretty simple. What's in our text line? Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com.
One texter texted in and said, do you think that this will make players stay longer in college? I think it could.
I don't think the money in college will ever be the money in the pros.
But we talk about so many players. We were mentioning that earlier. Players leaving college a little bit too early than they should. And so now they have motivation other than just not being ready for the NFL to stay in college. Because you can say, okay, hey, I'm making $100,000 in college versus however much I would make on an NFL practice squad and then get cut later on in the year. So I don't think it's going to make the superstars stay longer in college. You know, Jamar Chase, Trevor Lawrence, they were leaving regardless because they knew that they were going to collect their bag on the day of the draft. But maybe these middle-of-the-road players who decide to leave in 3 years but really could or should stay a fourth year, they now have an incentive to do so.
How much money do you think DeShone Kizer has made in his NFL career?
So he was the starter in Cleveland for how many, 15
games?
He
was a second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So he was drafted by the Cleveland Browns,
mm-hmm.
signed to be a backup in Green Bay, spent a year not doing much, and then was on the practice squad here. He made $72,000 from the Titans last year. But how much money do you think DeShone Kizer has made in the last 4 years? And he's scheduled to make $920,000 on the Titans this year.
I would say less than $10 million.
DeShone Kizer's made $3.9 million.
Okay.
I don't think any conference in America is going to pay one kid $3.9 million.
No.
So Kizer left a year too early.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Kelly said he's leaving a year too early. Went to a terrible situation in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get it done. Bounced around the league, and he's made $3.9 million.
He's also a quarterback.
True, but that doesn't really matter when it comes to your draft status. Like you get drafted, this is what you make from being drafted. It's not like he is a starting quarterback who signed a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you look at Mariota's career earnings, because he was a quarterback. Because he was the second overall pick, because he had his fifth-year option picked up, because that was $20.9 million, it will be significantly inflated. It's not for DeShone Kizer. And that's my point. The guy left college early. He did not make it in the NFL, and he still made $3.9 million.
Not a bad gig. I mean,
I don't think the colleges will ever have that kind of money to give somebody.
No, I don't think the colleges will be able to pay $720,000.
Jonnu Smith played at Florida International, and he's now a $50 million guy.
Like yeah, Florida International doesn't have the money to pay $50 million.
It's just so the idea that it'll get people to stay there, you know, that I don't buy. What else we got?
Trent and Dixon texted in and said, do you think they will implement a salary cap in college?
You have to get a union in order to do that. Again, a salary cap is only possible when you have two sides willing to dance.
Mm-hmm.
As I correctly pointed out to somebody in the text line the other day, one of the Supreme Court justices involved in this, Judge Sonia Sotomayor, who is now on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
She was, I believe, the district court or the circuit court judge in the baseball 1995 get them back on the field case. And what the owners did in baseball was they implemented a salary cap that was not agreed upon by the players. Thus, the players argued that they should all be free agents under this. That if you're going to change the rules, then we get to change the rules too. And the judge said, no and no, we're going back to the way that it was. So you have to have a dance partner on this. So as far as having a salary cap, there has to be a union. And that's why I look at this and I think, how do you start a union? Like, how do you start a union for 38,000 or whatever it is, you know, the numbers they always tell us. There's 38,000 of us and 99% will be going pro in something other than sports. How do you start a union for that many people? And I mean that with in all seriousness, because the Marist field hockey player is not going to have the same representation that the Alabama football player is going to have. We're not going to have the same needs and desires, and you're going to have them represented the same. Well, hell, what do you do there? So that's
split up into a football union, a baseball union, a basketball union. Do you split it up in a to the revenue sport unions?
Now it's more complicated.
Right.
But that's what happens. That's the discussion here. How does Title IX get impacted by this? That's another element. I mean, there's a lot of detail here. So I can't answer that question for you. That's why nobody can answer these questions for you. What else we got?
Another texter texted in and said, so are the transfer portal will basically feel like free agents after this?
What does the transfer portal feel like now?
I mean, it basically is free agents, but now it's recruiting based on exactly how NFL free agents are recruited, air quotes, is money.
So I'm of the belief that in November of 2020, if you had woken up a Notre Dame football fan who had been a Notre Dame football fan for 50 years and died in 1996 at the age of 75, right? So the guy lives a nice long life, rooting for Notre Dame, watches him every week, lives and dies by the Irish, dies in 1999, wakes up in November of 2020. If he were to have seen an ACC logo on the Notre Dame field, and he were to see guys freely transfer from one team to another, a guy transferred to go play quarterback at a school, and then he can't play quarterback, so he leaves that school, and he's just looking to start, not going to listen to the coach, and the transfer portal the way it is, and name, image, and likeness, and that man would have thrown up.
Yeah.
He would have almost been like, no, I'm going back. Like, I'm good. Back to the grave for me. I cannot watch this. That's
a little dramatic.
I'm just
rather go back to the grave and live in this era of college football.
For that guy.
If you lived in an era of college football in the 50s and 60s, I can understand it. But
70s, 80s, 90s.
But football was a business in the 80s and 90s. SMU. Players were getting pumped money into their bank accounts at SMU in the 80s.
And they got the worst punishment ever given in the history of sports.
Yes, but it wasn't unheard of to give your players money. Yes, it was against the rules, and yes, they got the death penalty for it.
And how many Notre Dame people were like, oh, how dare SMU do this?
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm telling you, that's what they did. So, again, to answer my point, like, it's just, it's different. And nobody knows. Nobody knows. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Caroline's. Good week for me. Or good week. Good day for me so far.
Good day. Easy good over there. Good day for me. Good day for me.
We'll get to Caroline's coming up next. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 1025. The game. Let me make sure that I don't have anything else that I need to tell all of the fine folks out there. Because, you know, I got a lot of it. Caroline, talk for a second.
So, we had an incredible ending to the Suns game last night, and I thought that I had my bet won when I picked the Suns.
Good talk, Caroline. This Friday, okay. It's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Friday night, you win a prize pack and a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate Friday morning at 9:45 with Robbie and Rexford. Sorry about that.
Well, I thought that I had my pick one, and then I remember that I took the Suns -6 because I got cocky.
There you go.
The exact thing I said I wasn't going to do.
Caroline's is next. Congratulations to me. 4-1 yesterday. Thank you, Montreal. Thank you, Atlanta Braves. Thank you to the Clippers for not losing by more than 6.
That was a wild game.
Wild game. The NBA's fun. The NBA nowadays.
NBA postseason is very fun.
It used to be bad. I would like to state for the record, I picked the Rays to beat the Red Sox on the money line. You took the Red Sox. That game went to extra innings where the Red Sox won, so you did get that.
Ooh.
But what did I tell you guys about yesterday as far as the Red Sox were concerned?
Our new guy, our new friend.
Wander Franco, the top prospect in all of baseball. Wander Franco, yesterday for the Rays against the Red Sox, hit his first career home run. He was 2-for-4, 2 runs scored, 3 RBIs. He walked once. He had a slugging yesterday of 1,500.
Oh, my gosh.
So, ladies and gentlemen, The future of baseball is there, and I just want everyone to know that I told you all about it first.
And we were kind of dogging on Jessica Mendoza a little bit because we were like, okay, calm down, Jessica. He's not that great.
But
nope,
he's gonna
was right. He was that great.
He was going to be good. All right, time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's. Here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
This week, yours truly 5-4. Caroline's is 4-5. Go ahead.
We got game one of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight, and I know who you're going to pick, and I'm making this pick not because I know who you're going to pick, but because I believe in this team. Give me the Bucks on the money line. Bogdanovich and Cam Reddish are both questionable tonight for the Hawks with a knee and Achilles injury, respectively. The Bucks just knocked off the Nets, who mid-season, the Nets were my favorite to win it all, and I know that the Nets were kind of dealing with the injury bug, but Milwaukee took two of the teams of Atlanta's regular season games, Milwaukee won two out of the three that they played with the Hawks. April 15th, their last meeting with Atlanta in the regular season, Trae Young shot for 0-for-8 when he was defended by Jrue Holiday. Not great. I think the Bucks are going to win this series. The Hawks have been so hot all postseason. They have been a really fun team to watch in the postseason. But I'm just going to go with my gut here. I'm more than willing to bring back my tune about the Bucks winning this series whenever I see a little bit more of the Hawks against the Bucks. But I'm just going to go with my gut for now. Give the Bucks on the money line.
You said you knew how I was going to pick?
Yeah, I knew you were going to pick the Hawks.
How?
I just know. I just felt it in my bones.
How do
you
feel?
Love Trae Young. And you're a Braves fan. I thought that you were going to be a little bit of an Atlanta homer.
I have no allegiance to the Hawks.
I know, but you spark up a little bit every time you talk about the Hawks. You have a little sparkle in your eye.
Give me the Hawks plus +8.
I knew it.
Here's where I'm going to take the Hawks plus +8. Have you seen these games in the NBA? Everything is down to the wire.
It's
everything. I'm getting 8 points. Give me the Hawks plus +8. And I do think the Hawks may win. I mean, I'm not banking. I think this is going to go about 5 or 6 games. I think Milwaukee wins the series. Mm-hmm. Give me the Hawks, though, plus +8.
All right.
8 is a lot of points.
8 is a lot of points. I thought 6 wasn't a lot, and Clippers lost by 1. We also have Lightning Islanders tonight. This is my spicy pick of the night. Give me the Islanders on the money line, plus +135. Islanders got absolutely destroyed last game. They lost 8-0, but I think they're going to have a sort of a bounce back. They're back in New York. They're back on home ice. I think that they're really angry that they got embarrassed by Tampa Bay last game, and they're going to come back mad. And I'm not going to let last game fool me, because I think that the Islanders are a lot closer with the Lightning than a lot of people think, and they proved that this past series. So give me the Islanders on the money line.
I am going to take Tampa Bay on the money line. I think this baby's over.
You think?
I think it's over. I think the Lightning have flexed their muscle. I said Lightning on the money line, right?
Yes.
Lightning, they have flexed their muscle. They are the best team in the game. Give me the Lightning.
Braves, Mets tonight. This is the final of a 4-game series. I feel like the Braves and the Mets have been playing each other this entire season. Braves have Kyle Wright on the mound. This is only his second start of the season, but the Mets have Tyler McGill out on the mound. This is his MLB debut. I'm taking the Braves on the money line, by the way. Sticking with just the tiniest little bit more of experience on the mound. But Kyle Wright pitched pretty well in his past outing in Braves win 5-2 against the Cubs in April. I mean, this is just kind of feels like a toss-up, but I'm going to go with the Braves.
Ian, you can tell Caroline is not a veteran of this radio show.
Well, yes, Jared is not a fan of Kyle Wright. And as well, side note, Acuna Jr. is out tonight with back issue, tightness or soreness or something of the nature.
I'm sticking with it.
So Kyle Wright freaking sucks. I just want you to know that. Like, he freaking sucks.
Why are you
sucks.
So anti-Kyle Wright?
Because he sucks.
He's pitched in one game.
He freaking sucks. Last year, when they tried to give him a spot in the rotation, they tried last season, he was terrible. By the way, he got a postseason start in the NLCS. The Braves were up 2-0, mm-hmm. feeling good about themselves. He went 2/3 of an inning, 5 hits, 7 runs, 7 earned, 2 homers against the Dodgers, and led them back in the series.
Don't pick the Braves.
I'm not.
Because good.
He freaking sucks. When I went to the Sounds game, when they played Gwinnett a couple of weeks ago, he was the bat boy. And I said, that's the job for Kyle Wright, bat boy, because he freaking sucks. He stinks. And as a Braves fan, I've given you pitch at Vanderbilt. High pick.
Key point there. You're a Braves fan.
I have seen every start. They have given Kyle Wright every opportunity to not stink.
This is his second start.
This is his second start this season. He's gotten every spot start opportunity. They put him in the rotation last year. He was terrible. They put him in the playoffs last year. He was terrible. He sucks. So, give me the Mets on the money line.
Great.
And I feel comfortable about the Mets on the money line.
You know what? I'm glad you feel comfortable.
You could, and I'm not taking this because I don't have to. You could give me the Mets minus six tonight, and I might take them because Kyle Wright freaking sucks.
I guess we'll see.
Oh, he's so bad. He's so bad. Vandy Stanford tonight. I am taking Stanford. Vanderbilt has fired off the cannons. From an offensive standpoint, I'm not sure Vanderbilt has impressed me at the College World Series. They have fired off the cannons. No Leiter, no Rocker. I think it's going to be Patrick Riley who gets the ball tonight.
I think it's Christian Little.
Christian Little. Interesting. Give me Stanford.
I'm going to go with Stanford as well. I mean, they are coming off of a huge win, and I would have felt so confident about Vandy if they were playing on Friday, but it's not Friday. So I think Vandy's done tonight.
Those are Carolines. 615-737-1025. Bunch of stuff to watch tonight. Bunch of stuff that's out there. But we just brought up the Vanderbilt game. We're both picking against Vanderbilt. Are we wrong for that? We'll discuss next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, we are just minutes away from first pitch between Vanderbilt and Stanford. Winner goes on to NC State. Got to have to beat them twice. Loser goes home. Now, we didn't have a lot of faith in the Vols after they lost their game. In fact, I thought the Vols were going to lose to Virginia. But we didn't have a lot of faith in the Vols after they lost their game. Neither of us are picking Vanderbilt. Why are we not picking Vanderbilt? And are we losing faith in a team that has been there and done that? It's one thing for the Vols, and I said this when they went into the College World Series, that I didn't feel like they were aware of what Omaha was about how difficult it is to win in Omaha, about how hard it is, the level of compete, everything. And I look at Vandy, and I think to myself, and I like Vandy, but I look at Vandy and I think this team is technically the defending national champions. And yet I still just don't have a lot of faith in them. Right now they are not swinging the bats. They are not playing the way that we're used to seeing a Tim Corbin team play.
If you ask the average college baseball fan, what do you know about Vanderbilt baseball? They're going to give you two names, Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker. Because that's Vandy's 1-2 punch.
Sure.
You don't have those guys tonight. And not that the average college baseball fan's opinion matters necessarily in this instance, but they don't have their golden children out there tonight. So that's my biggest concern, is who's on the mound tonight. My second concern you just addressed. All they had to do against NC State was get a couple base hits and get two guys home. Boom, you win. You get almost a week off, and you can play on Friday with one of your aces out there.
And they put no pressure on
NC
State to do
They couldn't do that. Jack Leiter was forced to pitch himself out of a couple jams when the bases were loaded, and he was able to get a couple strikeouts, and Jack Leiter was absolutely lights out. The way that Jack Leiter played, what was that, Monday night?
Yes.
That's a winning team pitcher. They just couldn't get the bats moving. So I hope that that was maybe the kick in the butt that Vandy needed to get some runs on the board. But the way that the offense looked on Monday just didn't give me a ton of confidence.
Now, Stanford has had to play out of the loser's bracket. So they have had to burn their best as well.
And they played big time.
And we have
14 runs.
And we have to assume one thing Tim Corbin did bring up is that by Jack Leiter going the distance on Monday night, Nick Maldonado, who worked, I believe, 2 2/3, and Luke Murphy, who worked 2 2/3, and McIlvain, who got the win on Saturday. Those guys, we would assume, are completely fresh tonight. Like, we would consider that Vanderbilt, they're going to go with Christian Little.
That's fair.
I figure they go with Patrick Riley. They're going to go with Christian Little. I think if they can get a decent start, they'll be okay. But the problem is the bats. You know, the thing about a Tim Corbin team, when they win, it is the bottom of the order setting up the top of the order. And the bottom of the order did it against Arizona. but it's usually, you know, kind of that setup. This just doesn't feel like a championship team. It just doesn't. And I have seen
and
Tim
they're
Corbin.
A damn good team.
Well, they're good. I have seen Tim Corbin championship teams in my life. I've seen Tim Corbin teams that didn't win the championship that I looked at and I said, okay, that's a championship team. This offensively, with this lineup, they just don't feel like a championship team. They don't feel like one of those great Tim Corbin championship teams where they get the big hit from the right guy at the right moment, whether it's Jonathan White at the College World Series, whether it's Matt Mine-Gassner in a regional against Michigan. You go back to their East Carolina Super Regional, they didn't light up the scoreboard in that. There were no 7-8-run outbursts. That was at home against ECU. So I just don't think they have the bats. Dominic Keegan, their best hitter, has not performed well so far. And the at-bats that he's taken, the approach, you can it feels like he's in a slump right now. It feels like it's getting to him. So that's why I'm going to take Stanford. And Stanford absolutely obliterated Arizona the other night. By the way, speaking of that, ECU or Arizona, those two guys, along with Notre Dame's coach, are the next finalists for your school, LSU. But it means Tony Vitello is not a finalist at Tennessee. He will be on Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45. So if you're a college baseball fan, Coach Tony Vitello on with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow. That's going to do it for us. We got basketball tonight. We got hockey tonight. We got baseball tonight. We got college baseball tonight. We got everything tonight. Tonight's a four-screen night. That's going to do it for us. We're out of here. ESPN Radio coming up next. The Sounds will get underway with the Charlotte Knights at 6:50. Stillman and Company, we'll see you tomorrow, too.